Hey everybody, this is Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I want to come to you, want to welcome you to our YouTube channel this morning. If you haven't already done so, I'd like to ask you to subscribe and ring the alarm bell here so that you can stay current and get updates about the church and our content and our ministry here online at YouTube. I want to come to you with another midweek video, and this video is going to be a continuation or a supplemental video to what I preached on Sunday on the issue of Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, and the verse that reads right here as follows in your King James Bible, verse Colossians 3, 14, and above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So we're going to be talking a little bit more about charity. Before we do that, I want to ask you to check out a book, co-authored book here by Dave Reed and I. You can buy this from Dispensational Publishing House. And this is the Day of the Lord Project. And this covers a bunch of material and information related to the Day of the Lord, the Day of Christ, the timing of the Day of Christ, and how these things are, how they fit together in the eternal purpose of God. So I'd encourage you to check that out from Dispensational Publishing House. You can pick that up for $6. And then I also want to remind you about our Rumble channel here at Grace Life Bible Church here on Rumble. Again, I have links in the description for this video, but if you're into alt tech sites, we've established this Rumble channel as an alternative to YouTube should something happen to our YouTube ministry. So the topic that I want to talk to you about is more about this love charity issue. I alluded to some things in my notes on Sunday, and I said in my message on Sunday that I was going to be making a video midweek to get into more information about this. Now, this is not the first time that I've talked about this issue. A number of years back when we were going through 1 Corinthians in our Sunday morning study, when we got to chapter 13, I did two lessons on, you know, love, charity, what's the difference? So I will put links in the description to that as well. And then I also touched on this issue in our Sunday school class from This Generation Forever when we talked about William the Translator and words and translational choices that Tyndale made that are would probably some people might find surprising and that were somewhat controversial. So I talked about this issue in two or three studies that I did on that at that time. So again, I will have links to all that in the notes. So for those of you that are aware of the pro King James position, and let me be clear about it, I'm a King James believer. I only use or preach from a King James Bible, and I have spent, you know, a lot of time creating resources and so forth that are very, you know, pro King James and you know, trying to explain why I think people should continue to use the King James, even with the proliferation of modern versions. So all that being said, there's a debate, but that doesn't mean, in my opinion, and those of you that have been following this channel, following our ministry, you know, that I think that a lot has been said in defense of the King James that is, number one, not accurate. Number two, some of it is just flat out, you know, wrong. Well, obviously not accurate would make it wrong, but just argumentation that is just bad. It just doesn't make any sense, that doesn't accord with the facts, that is arguably private interpretation in some cases, and is things that we just need to drop from our defense of the King James, okay? Now, as you know, the King James uses the word charity. 28 times the King James uses the word charity. And all these 28 times that the King James uses the word charity, modern versions, the NIV, ESV, etc., they typically use the word love. And so this has caused there to be much debate and so forth about, you know, love, charity. Are these different words of discriminated meaning? Is there a shade of difference meaning? If a modern version has love and not charity, is it substantively, is it inaccurate? Is it a corruption? Is it saying something that's not true? And is charity the only correct reading in these 28 times where modern versions have love? And, you know, what's going on with this, okay? So at Sunday at church, what I did is I presented the position of Scripture, and I said that I was going to cover some of the historical textual things in this video. So let me remind you about what we looked at, okay? One of the things that we did Sunday is I presented to you this table here where we could look at in columns that charity and love are used interchangeably in the King James Bible and are said to accomplish the same things. So whatever I'm going to say after I review this point, I'm putting this point in here as an anchor point for why I went further into this investigation. Okay, so let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Above all these things put on, above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Well, look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hate stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. So, do charity and love both cover sins? Well, according to your King James Bible, the answer to that is yes. According to the Word of God, the answer is yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, love, charity. Why are faith, hope, love here? Faith, hope, charity. Is there really a difference between charity and love? They seem to be being used interchangeably here when this construct of faith, hope, charity is used. Okay, let's look at this one. Titus chapter 2, verse 2. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Likewise, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Okay? So notice, faith, charity, patience. Faith, charity, patience. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So love is agape. Charity is agape. Charity is agape. So So the man of God, the sober men in the church, the aged men, what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to follow faith, charity, patience, or faith, love, patience. The words are being used interchangeably in various contexts to refer to the same things, as they were up here in the example about covering the multitude of sins. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, okay, with all them that call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Fear to follow after righteousness, faith, charity. But look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So here you're to follow after charity, but here you're to follow after love. This is agape. This is agape. There doesn't seem to be a discriminated shade of difference meaning because both instructions are there, and they seem to be synonyms, not words of discriminated meaning, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and, notice, the charity of every one of you towards each other aboundeth, okay? Talking about abounding charity. Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, now the Lord make you to increase and abound in love. So in the first epistle Paul writes to the Thessalonians, the King James says that they should abound in love one toward another. Agape, love, that's the word there in Greek. Okay, they're to abound in love one toward another. Then he writes them the second epistle, and he talks to them about how the charity of every one of you towards each other aboundeth. So they're doing in the second book what he instructed them to do in the first book, but in the first book he instructed them to abound in love. The second book acknowledges that they're abounding in charity. Is there any difference? Doesn't seem to be the case. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another with a pure heart. So here we have charity out of a pure heart, and here we have loving one another out of a pure heart. Again, there doesn't seem, when you compare Scripture with Scripture, when you imply the second principle of Bible study, the first being, you know, you read the Bible literally, the second being you compare Scripture with Scripture, verse with verse, when we do this in our King James Bible, it seems that these are interchangeable words, that what one is said to accomplish, or what when one is said to when one is admonished to function in charity, there's an acknowledgement or admonishment to function in love. Okay, so there doesn't seem to be a difference when it comes to that. They seem to be words of synonymous meaning. Now look at this. So here's another example I want to add. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, forbearing one another. Now we're going to skip the end of this, and let's go to verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity. So there's a connection in the context between forbearing one another and above all these things, put on charity. So what is going to enable or allow the believer to forbear with one another in verse 13? It's when we put on charity in verse 14, okay? Now, we see a similar thing when we go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 2. At the end of verse 2, there's an instruction there to be forbearing one another in love. Well, forbearing one another in love and putting on charity to allow forbearance here in Colossians chapter 3, again, is yet another example of how these words seem to be being used synonymously, okay? So this debate between, so what's going on here, okay? There doesn't seem to be, what seems to have been said, when I look into things just within the King James Bible, we haven't left the King James Bible yet, okay, to look at extra biblical things. I don't see that the statements that are made about there being a discriminated shade of difference meaning between love and charity are in fact true. In fact, what I see is cross-references that demonstrate the opposite of that, that they are accomplishing and related to the same things and the same activities when they're being used. Okay. Now, the debate between love and charity is an old debate. It is not a new debate. It's a few hundred year old debate. Okay. Now, what we need to do is we need to go look at the Oxford English Dictionary here. And I know some people are going to lose their mind because we're looking at a dictionary, but we want to understand what we're after here is understanding about this issue. All right. Now, let's first look at the definition. So here's charity in the OED. Number one, Christian love. So the definition of charity is Christian love, according to the Oxford English Dictionary. A word representing cateris, I think that's how you say that, in the Vulgate, a frequent rendering of agape in the New Testament Greek, with various applications as. Now, notice 1a, God's love to man. So, charity can refer to God's love to man. It's a historic usage and meaning of the word charity. B, 1b, man's love of God and his neighbor commanded as fulfilling the law, Matthew chapter, what would this be, 22 verses 37 and 39. So it could be God, it could be, charity could refer to God's love to man, it could refer to man's love to God. And C, 1c, notice what it says, the Christian love of one's fellow human beings, Christian benignity of disposition, expressing itself in Christ-like conduct, one of the three Christian graces fully described by St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. One of the chief current senses in devotional language, though hardly otherwise without qualification as Christian charity in the Revised Version. Okay, so what does all this mean? That means that we have three different uses of charity. Charity historically has been used to refer to God's love to man. It's been used to refer to man's love of God and his neighbor, and it's been used to refer to Christians and their Christ-like conduct towards one another, and not only each other as believers, but towards fellow human beings in general, okay? And now here's where we see controversy that's going to start to come in. So the word has been used in three different senses historically, and the OED is documenting all of this in its usages, okay? So let's look at what it says here. So we're under the etymology here. We're looking at the historic uses of the word, and we're going to start right here. The Greek word for love in the New Testament is agape, okay, to treat with affection, regard. To love in the Vulgate, agape is sometimes rendered as dililectio, the noun, which means to esteem highly, love. but more frequently as cateris, dearness, love founded on esteem, but never amor. Okay, so let's stop there. So what that's saying is that when the Latin Vulgate was translated, when the word agape was in the text, that Jerome, who translated the Latin Vulgate, he used two different Latin words when he made the translation. He used one word, this delectio word, and this other word, cateris, and he never used, though, the word amor. Amor would be romantic love. Amor would be like, you know, the love that you have for your spouse, that kind of a thing, all right, that more romantic type of love. These two Latin words are related to esteem highly, love, and to dearness, love founded on esteem, okay? Now, here's what happens. Wycliffe and the Reims version regularly rendered the Vulgate, delectio, by love, and cateris, by charity. So when Wycliffe translates the Bible into Middle English in the late 14th century, he is going to, when he encounters this word here, delectio, in the Latin text, he's going to render it using the English word love in the Middle English text. When he encounters this word cateris in the Latin text, he's going to render it in the English text using the word charity. Okay, now let's read on. But the 16th century English versions from Tyndale to 1611, while rendering agape, sometimes love, sometimes charity, did not follow the delectio and cateris of the Vulgate. Okay, now let's stop there. So if that's true, we should be able to observe that. So I'm going to give you two examples. Okay, we don't have time to look at every single example that we could look at. It would take too long, and this video would be too long and more boring than it already is for some of you. Okay, but let's check this out. So here we have Matthew chapter 5. In this column, we have the Latin Vulgate, and in this column, we have the Reims. All right, now let's look for this. Okay, so here we see a form of that word, delectio, and we see here in verse 43 that it is rendered love, just like the OED said. If we go to verse, let's go to verse 44. Here's another form of that word in Latin, and here it is rendered love in the Reims, okay? And we could come down here to verse 46, and there it is again, a form of the Latin word, and it, here it is again in English as love twice in this verse, in the Reims, Matthew chapter 5, verse 46, right? Now, here we could also look at what Wycliffe did. This is Wycliffe's rendering. Look at verse 43, okay? You have heard it said that thou shalt love thy neighbor. So there's love, right? So he's using love because it's relating to that, a form, a derivative of that delectio word in Latin, all right? And you could go through this. Here's the next verse. Again, you see love. And verse 46, you see love. Why? Because the word that he's translating out of the Latin Vulgate is that word, that delectio word here, like we saw back when we looked at the This is the Oxford English Dictionary, right? So the Reims and Wycliffe, just like the dictionary said, when the delectio form of the Latin word appears, they render it as love. Okay, let's go a step further now, and let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And here we have the Latin, and here we have caterum. And this is a form of the word cateris, and so the Reims renders it charity. And we go to the next verse, and we can see the same phenomenon. There's caterum again, and there's charity in the Reims. We could go to the next verse. There's caterum again, and there's charity in verse 3. And so on down the passage. I think we've seen enough to make the point. And we could go to Wycliffe, and we could again see the same thing, that you have charity. He's using, so verse 1, he has charity. In verse 2, he has charity. In verse 3, he has charity, and so on and so on. Why? Because when they're using a translational principle, when they're translating out of Latin, that when the one word, when the delectio word is there, they're going to use love, and when the word cateris or a form of it is there, they're going to use charity. All right? So if we go back to the dictionary establishes this principle. All right? Now, it also says, though, but from the 16th century English versions, from Tyndale to 1611, while rendering agape, sometimes love, sometimes charity, did not follow the delectio and cateris of the Vulgate. Okay? Now, here's where things get interesting. when William Tyndale sets out to translate, William Tyndale intentionally makes the choice to not use the word charity, but to use the word love, and to do so nearly every single time. Because William Tyndale perceives that the word charity is a Catholic word, all right? And his opponents perceive him to be attacking Catholicism by not using the word charity, okay? So let me share a couple things with you. This is William Tyndale's biography of William Tyndale by David Daniels, okay? David Daniels, I should say, not Daniels. And notice what it says here. So I'm reading from page 148 and 149 of the biography here on Tyndale. It says, quote, in other words, he is talking about Tyndale. Well, let's go back up. The Greek word agape is one of several words for love. So Tyndale prints love, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and not charity. In other words, he is making the New Testament refer inwardly to himself, as he instructs his readers to do, and now outwardly to the church. Priests and penance and confession and charity, interpretation, as he explains in the second paragraph of his epilogue, has to do that all is conformable and agreeing to the faith of the New Testament. He cannot possibly have been unaware that those words in particular undercut the entire sacramental structure of a thousand-year church throughout Europe, Asia, and North Africa. It was the Greek New Testament that was doing the undercutting. William Tyndale intentionally put love in all of these places because he's not bound to the Delectio Cateris formation of the Latin Vulgate. He's translating the Greek, and in the Greek, it's just agape. And William Tyndale is putting love on purpose, and the suggestion is that his enemies knew it. Let's also look at a passage from A History of the Bible as Literature by David Norton. A History of the Bible as Literature by David Norton. Notice what he says. This is page 21. More, so this is Sir Thomas More. This is Tyndale's chief opponent, chief antagonist in these things. More's chief concern is with heretical tendencies in the translation. Among these is a choice of certain words through which, with some justification, he sees Tyndale as attacking the teaching and practice of the church. So, the debate goes all the way back to William Tyndale. When William Tyndale first started to translate the Bible out of Greek, not Latin, but out of Greek into English, and William Tyndale is also a reformer, he's totally anti-Catholic and he is embracing the teachings of Martin Luther, he makes translational decisions like charity, like love for charity, like congregation for church, like repentance for due penance, which obviously is a massive Catholic doctrine, right? He's making these translational choices on purpose so as to separate from Rome and from the Roman Catholic Church's teachings. And Sir Thomas More knows it, as does this guy here. This is a treatise on charity, and this was written in, let me make sure I get the year right on this. This is written in 1530 by a guy named Thomas Lupset, where he's a staunch Roman Catholic, and he's making the case that charity is the only correct way that some of these verses should read, and he excoriates William Tyndale, and basically calls him a heretic for not using the word charity, but for using the word love, okay? And again, another book I would commend to you is this book right here, The Literary Lineage of the King James Bible, 1340 to 1611, by Charles C. Butterworth. And there's an entire appendix in this book on the issue of charity that sets all of the readings in all of the English translations in parallel columns so that you can compare and see what is really going on here with this. Very helpful book, very interesting book. But William Tyndale's making this choice on purpose, okay? So let's look at one other thing. So I conducted a complete collation of all 28 times the word charity appears in the King James Bible, okay? And I plugged all of the findings into this table here. So across the top, we have the different translations. And then across down the side, we have the verses that the word charity appears in. So in the King James Bible, the first time you find the word charity is in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Okay? So we want to make some observations here. Notice, Wycliffe had charity. Tyndall, love. Coverdale, love. Matthews, love. Great Bible, love. Geneva Bible, love. The first edition of the Bishop's Bible, love. The Reims had charity, and now we get to it. The second edition, the revision of the Bishop's Bible in 1572, 28 times, and this is done by bishops, high bishops of the Anglican Church. This is a point some people aren't going to like, but it's a fact. 28 times these high Anglican bishops, in the revision of the Bishop's Bible in 1572, they switched love for charity. And all these 28 times, Tyndale had love. All of the preceding English Bibles, including the Bishop's Bible, they all had the first edition of the Bishop's Bible, they all had love. These bishops switch it to charity 28 times. Now notice, if you just, I'm just going to scroll down here, run your eye down the list. Every time, all 28 times that the King James Bible has charity as its reading, and all 20, in all of these 24 of these verses, is exactly corollary with the 28 changes that were made by the Anglican bishops in 1572 in the second edition of the Bishop's Bible. So when the King James translators sit down to translate between 1604 and 1611, they are inheriting a text that has already made those decisions, because it was made for them by the bishops who revised the Bishop's Bible in 1572. So when the King, when rule number one given to the King James translator says that they are to follow the Bishop's Bible unless the truth of the original says otherwise, they are inheriting a text, a 1602 Bishop's Bible, that has already 28 times switched love to charity. And the King James translators are therefore then deciding to keep charity. They're not the ones who made the decision to put charity in. They're the ones who are deciding to keep charity as the reading because it had already been, the switch had already been made. There's a lot of things to consider here, folks. Number one, William Tyndale did not think love was a mistranslation, and neither did any of these folks from Tyndale to bishops. It's a fascinating thing when you think about it that it was the Catholics who were staunchly defending the charity love distinction, not the Protestants. But of course, this history here, few people are aware of it. So what do we have here? Well, let's go back to the dictionary and let's make an observation. So, let's go back here. Both the 16th century English versions from Tyndale to 1611, while rendering agape sometimes love, sometimes charity, just showed you that, did not follow the Delectio Cateris of the Vulgate, but used love more than 86 times, confining charity to 26 passages in the Pauline epistles. Now, I do think that the Oxford English Dictionary is not entirely correct. Tyndale didn't do that. It was later the bishops that of the bishops' revision that did that. But we then have this meaning, and what is the meaning of charity? Christian love. That's what it means. It could be love, man's love of God. It could be the Christian love of one's fellow human beings. And here's you know, the one that most people think about when they think about charity. But folks, the evidence in my mind is way in favor of the idea that number one, love and charity are interchangeable terms. They're both referring to the same thing. We could go a step further and even look at the Middle English Dictionary. This is the dictionary Middle English for charity, and we could see the forms. Let's look at the definitions. Definition number one, the supreme virtue of love or charity according to Christian doctrine, comprising affection, devotion, benevolent kindness, mercy, gratitude, as between God and man, God and man, or man and man, the same thing that we see here. So when we look, folks, at this table, and we see the interchangeable nature of the difference, the interchangeable uses, I should say, of love and charity, there does not appear to me to be a discriminated shade of difference meaning. If there is, then folks who are defenders of the King James are going to have to say and conclude that Tyndale, Coverdale, Matthews, Great, Geneva, and the first edition of the bishops all got it wrong. They all got it wrong when they had love in all of these 28 occurrences, and that Wycliffe, Reams, and bishops were the ones that got it right. It's a weird thing. Facts are strange things. Because what they demonstrate is when folks are arguing today for the exclusive use of charity over love, and if it says love and not charity, it's an error, it's a corruption, it's a mistake. They're engaging in the same line of argumentation that was used by Sir Thomas More and Blount when he writes this book, A Treatise on Charity, criticizing William Tyndale. So let's wrap this up and take stock of all this, okay? You're free to disagree with me if you want to. In fact, I'm fairly confident many will, and many will probably get mad at me and, you know, unlike the channel here or something like that because they don't like what I'm saying. But you have to, we have to anchor our position in facts, not superstition, not tradition. The facts of the case are such that, number one, the King James Bible uses charity and love interchangeably, that the debate goes all the way back to when the Bible was first being translated out of the preserved Greek into English by William Tyndale. Tyndale intentionally rendered agape as love almost every time except once that I can find. He did that on purpose, and he did it as a way of distancing himself from Rome. His Catholic opponents, Sir Thomas More, Tunstall, Cuthbert, and Blount, all these guys know it. They criticize him for it. And there just doesn't seem to me to be any reason for maintaining the hard distinction and the belief in a discriminated difference in meaning. And by the way, I cannot find a dictionary, a modern dictionary, I cannot find a Middle English dictionary that defines charity as love in action the way that I have seen some defenders of the King James do that. I just can't find it. Okay. Now, I am perfectly willing to be corrected. If I'm wrong, if it's there and I'm not aware of it, which is entirely possible, I would like to know about it so that I could, you know, evaluate what that means. Charity, love, accomplish the same thing. The fruit of the Spirit, the first fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 is love. Love is a translation of the same Greek word agape that's translated charity in Colossians 3. You go up further in Galatians chapter 5, and it talks about how, you know, we've been given liberty, only use that liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. The word there is agape. Translated love. For all the laws fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Agape. You could render agape charity. You could render agape love. And you could still be saying the same thing because the words mean the same thing. So, before you go, I know this has been a technical video. It's been an in-depth video. This is why I didn't want to get into all this stuff on Sunday. You need to check out first the description. I'm going to have links in there to other studies where I've talked about these same concepts, okay? I'm going to have links in there to two blogs by a gentleman who's writing a blog on the history of the King James Bible. He talks about some of these things. Don't forget to check out a copy of the book, The Day of the Lord Project. Don't forget to check out our Rumble channel here if you're into alt tech sites and want an alternative to YouTube. And for those of you that are YouTubers, please, if you haven't already done so, consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell so that you can stay current with this ministry. Before you go, just want to remind you that God loves you and Christ died for your sins. That's the bottom line of the gospel anyway, right? How much did God love us? He loved us enough that he would die for our sins, right? But God commendeth his love toward us, and then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died on the cross for your sin, was buried, rose again, shed his blood as the only payment for your sin. And when you by faith trust that and that alone, you receive the free gift of eternal life, and you'll pass from death to life. Won't you do that today before it's everlasting too late? Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.